Blog Talk Radio.
Coffee with Tracy and Friends, brought to you by Youngstown Community Health Center, quality health care you can afford.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Coffee with Tracy and Friends. It is First Cup Cafe and it's 7 minutes after the hour, and I want you to know it is hot and humid and muggy in here where I am sitting today. And so I pray that I make it through this because I'm about to burn up. But I am encouraged today. It is a good day. Today is Monday and it is the beginning of the week, and I'm looking for great things this week. It is June 14th and we are here. We'll be here until 10 o'clock this morning. As you guys know, that there's a listening in. The First Cup is First Cup Cafe. And the First Cup is giving things to inspirational things to God, talking about things that are positive. We are bombarded in our world with so much that's negative. You can't turn on a TV program and get a good laugh at times. Things are just overwhelming. And I have over my course, my little life, someone said to me, you know, Tracy, you know, first thing in the morning, you need to keep things positive. You need to keep things light. You need to give, we give our first and our tithe to God. We give our first fruits to God. We give our first to God, our first waking moments to God. And then I said, you know, we need to give my first cup of coffee, my first hour of my program when I'm on during the summertime, give that to God also. And tell him, you know, to tell people how great things are. Give a good story. Give an inspirational story. If you guys have any stories out there, if you know of people that are in our city, in our community, across the country, that have a good story, that have something good to say about something great, that can encourage somebody to say, you know what, I can make it, please give us a call at 330-259-1699. Leave a message, and somebody will get in touch with you so that they can talk to us and they can tell the story. The Bible says, testify. We will be overcome by the words of the testimonies. And we need to know that people's lives are not how they look. My theme for the weekend has been, you can't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes things look so great on people, and they look like everything is just going so well, and things, they never have a problem, and things are just hunky-dory. And you come to find out that when you go inside their home and you go inside their life is not a bed of roses like you would think they would be. And so I will be talking about that, too, and letting people know, you know, we need to become transparent. We need to become real with people and let people know that there is a great God, there is a great life, and you can overcome obstacles. I heard a sermon on yesterday, and I'm waiting for Pastor Crum to call in, and if anybody wants to call in and say something, please do so. But I was watching Bishop Blake yesterday. And he streamed live, and he was talking about Joseph. The husband of Mary, and what kind of man he was, and the relationship that he had with Jesus Christ. But by the time that Jesus was at the feast of the wedding, you no longer hear of Joseph. And so it is surmised that Joseph has already passed on. He's already died. Now, here we have Jesus Christ, who is he is the Messiah. He is in his words, in his mouth, in his life is nothing but life. And the man that he taught him how to become a carpenter, who played with him, who nurtured him as a natural man, as a natural boy, is no longer in the picture. And the Bible says Jesus was tempted as in all things. And things happen. And Jesus only followed after what God told him to do. And so when something happened to Joseph, Jesus, you know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He could have raised Joseph also and other people that he knew that had died in his life, because people pass away. Things happen. You know, tragedy comes. And Jesus stood still and did as the Father intended, and he moved on. And we have to learn from that, that Jesus had the power to do whatever was necessary to make his life so convenient, but he chose to do that was the will of God and to take it in, make him who he is, and move on. And that's something that we have to trust God to do. Things are not always going to be as a bed of roses as we would like for them to be in anyone's life. You know, people have sicknesses, they have death, they have children issues, they have ups, they have downs. And sometimes we can become so overwhelmingly personally critical of people. And as you know, working in the political realm, it can be overwhelming with that also. And it does it for not just for me, but across the board. We allow things to happen, and we take personal attacks. Now, yes, there are things that you need to call things out, and you need to be honest with things. But we also need to be personally compassionate, one towards another, understanding that what is pushing people into what they do. And then within our own situation, saying, you know what, I'll take what I got, and I'll trust God to get me out of this. He's brought me out of things before, and he'll bring me out of things again. And I implore you, and I hope and pray and trust that you will be encouraged by those words. You know, you might be in foreclosure, you might have lost your job, you might have lost your loved one, you might not have a job, you know, might not have any money coming in anymore, things have changed, money's funny, I don't know about y'all, stuff is, life is going crazy. And with all that said, we have to be encouraging of heart. It has to be. And you have to trust in God to know that he says he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask and or think. And he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get into him, he will automatically get into you, and he will take over if you yield your will and allow him to do that. So those of you who are out there that are having, today is Monday, and you didn't look forward to it, it's okay. You know, give it over to God. The song says, put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters, and put your hand in the hand of the man that's calmed the sea. He will see you through. He really, really will. Again, the number is 330-744-5117. I'm waiting for Pastor Kevin Crum to call me. And if he don't call me soon, I'm going to shoot him. But it's going to be all right. So I want to say that. Also want to encourage you to, I went out on Friday, and I'll probably talk about this in the 10 o'clock hour also. I'm praying for our children and for our young people and for our new generation. The new generation is different than ours, so different, more so than I have ever seen in my life. And it's not the same. Even going out, I haven't been out to a club in years. And I went out, and I, you know, y'all know I don't drink. I had a Red Bull because I like Red Bull. And I was out there, and just to see what I saw, I was not pleased. And my question to everyone is, what are we doing and what are we not doing to compel people to come? To compel people to come into the body of Christ and to serve him and to live for him and to yield their will over to his spirit and to allow him to move and to guide and to lead them into all truth. I really would like to know, what are we doing or what are we not doing that we should be doing? Because what I saw a world that needed a Savior, and I saw a world that needed a lot of love. And I saw people who didn't realize that what they have is not what they think they need, but they thought they needed it. And it's only a temporary solution, and it can lead to a lot of heartache. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Joe.
I believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
I believe in God.
Yeah.
But after I read that paper the other day, I began to wonder, what is our understanding the realistic thing about life?
What do you mean? What paper did you read?
The Seek the Vindicator, pertaining to all these people that ain't getting no time, they're not losing everything they got with the court system we have.
But you know, Joe,
this is God's world.
But don't you know, Joe, don't you know, it's God's world, but he gave man dominion, and man has become very, very greedy.
I begin to wonder, Tracy, and I consider myself as being halfway intelligent. To see what have been brought forth in this area, and I've seen it ever since. In fact, I got called Jeff and Bo the other day, and they cut me off when I asked, what have we really gained since I've been here since 61? A few positions. Other than that, and I know God's supposed to look down on all of us, regardless of what color we are, how much money you got, or where you live.
Hey, Joe.
All of us supposed to be debased the same way.
Hey, Joe, guess what? You know what I found out over the weekend? But I'm pissed. I woke up Saturday morning and I thought about this. So I'm gonna tell you, and you're gonna be the second person I told.
As the phone ain't coming in too clear on the radio either.
It's not.
No, I got a whole lot of static on the phone too.
Okay.
Okay.
Listen, what I found out over the weekend. The country that we live in, because we are turning our back on God, in all that we say and all that we do, because see, we are a Judeo-Christian country, or supposed to be. But we're not living that way, and we're no longer giving our time over to God. You realize that, right?
I realize that. I'm not giving enough time myself.
So listen. What I'm saying is, how can we ask God to bless this country when we don't bless his name?
Well, that could be many ways that we can look at this whole situation that happened in this country, thing that you never anticipate would happen. The problem with the oil, the problem with people killing one another, unusual thing having those people down there camping. It's something other badly going on in this world, and I don't think that we, as people, begin to see all that occurring yet. I don't profess. I sit down sometime and I go back and I listen to tapes and stuff that 20, 25 years ago, and the thing that I thought about now that we'd be living in paradise. We're not living in paradise, right? We live in a world of fear. We got people that can come in this country and do what they want to do, open up their business, and we go and try to go into business. And like I mentioned you before, my cousin went over some business, but he couldn't get the finance, couldn't get the business and stuff, but yet everybody can come in here and do what they want to do, open up the business they want to open up. We ain't got. I went out there, my cousin them.
But Joe, remember the first hour is light.
Pardon?
We do it light in the first hour. We don't go too deep and talk. We try to keep it inspirational. We give people hope in the first hour.
I understand.
You get ready to go down a course that's not hopeful.
I understand. I think it's a good time for us, all our religious people out here, and the people that have the power that maybe can change some of these inadequacies we have.
But Joe.
Yes.
Until my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face.
Well, do you, and you with your personal opinion, have an opportunity to experience with the Bible more than I do? Can you precisely say, what can we do as people, especially just right here in Youngstown, we can do to try to change some of these inequities?
You know what we can do? We can come together and quit allowing people to divide us.
But what the problem is?
There is a spiritual undercurrent that allows us to put ourselves one against another and not put God in our focus.
And believe me, we are against one another.
And we are against one another.
And it can demonstrate that what we have lost here in the last 10 years of our future,
our
nationality.
Joe, we are so intelligent that we allow people who are divisive to come in and divide us and to not unite us. And we allow little things, things that don't even make a hill's beans of crash, to divide us. And we cannot, and when we start making momentum and we start making changes and we start doing things that need to be done, we kill people. We crucify them and we allow ourselves to be martyrs for the cause. And we think that we've done something right and we've done something wrong.
But do you yourself, unless there's a drastic change, see any bright future ready in Youngstown that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we have to do?
Right.
You know, you can call me, and I haven't been seeing that little Jew dog, because I've been, I got cases and stuff I'm fighting, trying to fight my system of life. But I wish I could just wake up one morning and say, gee whiz, we got something else to show for what we got. We got how many churches we got in Youngstown? 100 and some odd churches?
Hey, Joe?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, listen, Pastor Crum just walked in.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a break.
I give you a call back. I want to elaborate with him, too, because I think that with the ministers and the ministers that preaching in this society that we're living in, I think we got to tighten up our pants around our stomach and try to start doing something other to change something in that.
Hey, Joe, thanks. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to let Pastor Crum get settled in, and then we're going to come back and talk with him for a minute. The number is 330-744-5117, and we'll be right back.
With Tracy and Friends, brought to you by Youngstown Community Health Center, quality health care you can afford.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care, or are you ready for a change? Dr. Hill and the Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients, located between Northside Medical Center and St. Elizabeth's. Dr. Hill provides comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and the Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurance is accepted.
Woo! I'm back with bigger and better news. I know you've heard about our summer programs with the high school kids. I know you've heard about the middle school program, but you've forgotten about Super Kids, the largest Christian daycare in Youngstown. Come on out so your kids can be loved on. It is simply marvelous. Call 330-744-2000. That's 330-744-2000 for HeartReach Super Kids. Woo!
Dan Jesus Burgundy Manor, 330-746-5157, provides quality professional nursing care. Its attractive home-like environment allows residents to be comfortable while being assisted by a team of highly skilled professionals. Located on the east side of Youngstown, it is easily accessible to family and friends. Professional services include physician's therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and a dedicated Alzheimer's unit, subacute care, IV therapy, psychological services, and a semi-private and private room, beauty and barber salons, plus a whole lot more. The Blunt family is dedicated to providing individuals with quality care that makes a caring difference. That's Dandridge Burgundy Manor, 31 Maranatha, the place to call when extended family services are needed. Call 330-746-5157 for tour.
American Family Insurance.
Hi, cuz. Thanks for picking up the kids. Really appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. I also got your car cleaned and waxed. Hopefully you won't notice that then.
Then, Charlene, it's a brand new car.
Correction, it was a brand new car. Savers are great, but some can put a dent in your to-do list or in your ride. That's why you need American Family Insurance. With fast claims and local agents who help you ensure your wheels are fully covered, American Family Insurance.
Local agent Monica R. Hoskins, 330-782-6100.
Why spend those high prices for your grocery needs when you can save a lot? Nimmons Save a Lot stores are conveniently located throughout the valley, 5 locations conveniently priced, and the store most preferred from shoppers. Brand and other product names that keep your hard-earned savings in your pocket. Nimmons Save a Lot has been serving the valley for years to make sure you have everything you need for your holiday shopping and money to spare. Pick up your gift certificate today. No need to shop anywhere else. You want savings? You want convenience? Then you want Nimmons Save-A-Lot.
Black Pages Ohio is offering small businesses free listings today. Move your business forward with Black Pages Ohio. Go to www.blackpagesohio.com or call 1-800-977-35 for more information. Free and open to the public, it's 2010 Profit Factor with a number of informational workshops tailored to help people start their own business or improve their existing one. In addition, a brand new procurement session will allow small business owners and corporations options, the opportunity to meet face-to-face, exchange information, and form partnerships. Join Black Pages Ohio Thursday, September 23rd at the Crown Plaza in downtown Cleveland. For more information, call Black Pages Ohio at 1-800-900-7735 or visit them on the web at www.blackpagesohio.com.
Speak the word of your life.
Good morning and welcome back to the First Cup Cafe. You're hosting the Morning Coffee with Tracy and Friends. It's 27 minutes after the hour here on the 14th, I believe, of June. It is hot and muggy in downtown Youngstown. And in studio with me, I am honored to say that I have Pastor Kevin Crum from New Hope Baptist Church over on Albert Street. I was going to put missionary in, but I don't think that's in there. It's New Hope Baptist Church, not missionary Baptist.
Right,
New Hope
right,
Baptist.
Right.
And he is with me this morning. He's sitting down here and said, call me this morning. About, am I supposed to be on with you? Yes. Welcome, Pastor Crum. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm good, good. Trying to wake up a little bit, but I'm doing great.
It's beautiful outside.
It is fantastic.
Outside of being a little muggy.
Yeah.
This is like an old, hot summer day.
Yes. Yes.
But it's beautiful. The birds are chirping. God is doing. What's going on at New Hope? What are y'all doing over there?
What are we doing at New Hope? Just finished our 92nd church anniversary on yesterday.
You don't look 92 years old, Pastor.
I know it. I know. I hope I will age well. I had our moderator down yesterday, Pastor Dr. Small, Carl Small from Elyria, Second Baptist Elyria. And did an awesome job. We had a beautiful celebration yesterday. So
congratulations.
We finished that 92 years.
Wow.
Amen. It's good to be there. Amen.
And what else is going on? What are y'all doing? What's new?
What's new? What we're trying to get launched this summer is math camp for our children before they go back to school. We want to get that going.
What is math camp?
Math camp is, we had one of our former members, professors at YSU, started a math camp a couple years ago to help our children get ready for the coming year. So they won't be, you know, they won't go in shocked by the new math or anything. So it's a pre-camp prepare them for the new fall. And then we're going to try this also this year, this summer, a Spanish camp. We have one of our members who's very fluent in Spanish, and she's going to be helping in that area. But it's not only just for the youth, preparing them for their high school and whatever, but it's also for the adults who would like to master the language.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so we got that plan.
So when does that start?
It's going to start in a couple weeks. We're going to try to get that going, and we're excited about that. Also, illiteracy. We want to try to attack illiteracy too, and sometimes, and not just for youth again, and because if you can't read, you can't figure out the math problem.
Of course.
But also for adults, there are some adults who. Maybe a little shy, but they're a little slow in their reading, and this can help them, because if you can't read as an adult, you can't fill out an application, you can't fill out an application, can't get the job, you know. This is just a chain reaction.
And what we fail to realize is some people are functioning illiterate.
Yes, yes, yeah. They mask it well, though. They mask it well, right.
And we label them, and so they don't tell anyone.
Right.
They want to learn.
Right.
But they can't. They tell me there are many, many people who go into the penal system.
Yeah.
They walk in, and they have no idea how to read.
Wow.
Mm. And we wonder why they end up somewhere like that.
Right, right.
So that is awesome. So you believe that you people ought not be ignorant.
Oh, my goodness. What Paul says, I would not have you ignorant.
That's what he said. And it's important that we encourage one another and lift one another up to do these kind of things.
Yes, yes.
Because if we don't, we lose.
Right.
Our whole community loses.
All of it, right. It hurts.
You can't read the Bible.
Right.
If you can't read.
Oh, my. That's right.
I mean, you can't understand. The Bible says, with all thy getting,
yes,
get an understanding. You can't understand the Bible if you can't read the Bible.
Right. That's right.
The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman unto God. And when I read that, it tells me that I should study. It never says, study the Word, study the Bible, study God, study theology, study the Holy Ghost, study this. It says, study to show yourself approved.
That's right. Right.
That means I'm supposed to study more than.
Oh, you're to be broad.
Yep.
And the Bible helps us to be
most
broad.
Most definitely.
Yes, and especially our outlook on life, yeah.
Most definitely, because we need to study our surroundings. We need to be observant of our surroundings.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I've been taught that I'm supposed to know 10% about everything in the world.
Wow. Lord help us.
Yes. But that's what he said, because they say you're supposed to have a working knowledge, because how can you apply it in ministry?
That's right.
If you don't understand it.
That's right. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and not only lived it, but taught that we have to have a kingdom perspective and have the kingdom bear witness and bear a practical application in our daily life. It ought to work for us. It ought to be working for us every day.
And it should.
Yeah.
And it should. It really, really should. And you, if you can't apply the word to your application, you're really not going to really walk in the word.
That's right. Right.
You know, you have to do that. It's important that we do that.
Right.
And we need to, we as the body of Christ need to learn how to exemplify that.
Yeah.
So people will become thirsty for us.
Oh, yeah. Salty. We got to make them, salt makes us thirsty. We have to, he says, you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So. But you, I'm very proud of you. I want to say the great job that you are doing here with this radio ministry.
Oh, God, it's good. I just show up.
Yes, and God shows out. Amen.
I just show up.
Amen.
You know, I have come to the conclusion it's really not about me. I was saying right before I was waiting for you to come in, I went out Friday night.
Okay.
I went out to Club Gossip to see Snoop.
Okay.
And at the 8 o'clock hour, I'll probably go more into detail about the experience. I have not been out to a club in years. Now, during campaign season, yes, do I pass through the clubs around here at the bars and see the people? And I'm at home by 11 o'clock.
Right.
But as far as going out to a club where young people are, there's no need.
Right.
And so I was there for an extended period of time, and I was like out of place. But I had an objective, and so I was not drinking.
Okay.
I was nothing but observing the music. You know, when I first went to work for Snoop, I did not know his music, and I still don't know it.
Okay.
And, but I said, God, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong that people stand in line as long as they stood to wait for him to come on stage, to do a concert about, and the words of the lyrics of the song are not life-giving.
Yes.
To jump up and down, to be as lewd as they are, to be as yielding their will and their spirit over to a force that is not going to do anything but cause them harm. To stand around and wait for hours to see him, to dance and jump up around, and then to wait around hours to see him afterwards to hopefully get an autograph or a glimpse. And I can't get you in church for 2 hours on Sunday. And you can't get me to say good morning to you on Monday morning.
Mm.
God, what the church, the Bible tells me that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
The Bible tells me we're the head and not the tail. The Bible tells me these things. What are we doing, Pastor? What are we doing? What? And I'm not talking about any individual pastor, church, clergy, but what are the people of God doing wrong that people are not thirsty for how we live?
You know, two things just came to my mind. One is that, first of all, the Word already has a head start. The flesh already has a head start, or you could say the devil already has a head start, because we have a natural tendency toward things that appeal to our flesh and our cardinal mind. So they already have a head start. That's one thing. Second thing that comes to me is the packaging. Sometimes it's not so much that we don't have, when we have or what we need to get the job done, it's just that sometimes we package it poorly and our presentation is lacking. And so, you know, we have to find out where they are. Because Jesus, whenever he witnessed to somebody, he always started where they were.
Right.
And, you know, if he met the woman at the well, so what is the conversation? It's about water. He always started where they were and moved them to where he was. And so sometimes it's just our packaging. And then, again, we're dealing with the world that has a head start on. Because you don't have to teach a child how to do wrong and how to lie.
No.
You know, it's just a natural tendency. Because of our fallen state. So those are two things that come to me. We got to do a better job of getting the gospel out and packaging it a little better. And I don't mean to take anything away from, you know, and myself included, you know, we have to find out fresh ways to present the gospel of Jesus Christ that's not so, you know, traditional, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with tradition,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not so traditional, and not so stereotyped, you know. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, something's not right here.
Yeah.
Everybody got crosses on too.
Well, you know you're right. You know you're right.
I'm telling you, I'm sitting there. Everybody got crosses on.
Yes.
There was crosses on the T-shirts, crosses on the neck, crosses on the back, tatted crosses, crosses in the back, crack at the behind, crosses everywhere. And I'm going,
wow.
And so you have this cross that you wear.
Yeah.
But you won't take up the cross that was given you.
Yes, yes.
The man that was on the cross. You don't. And I was like, God, what? I am so mad. I am infuriated. By the time I got home, I'm fighting.
Wow.
I'm riveting mad at the devil.
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to be Wonder Woman in God on this earth. I'm supposed to do greater things.
Right.
And I'm looking around going, this is not greater, and they need help.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw myself 25 years ago.
Yeah.
In some people. And I know what God has done in my life. And we have a world out here, we have young people out here that need to know the God that we know.
Right, right.
And we have not given them God. We have not shown them Jesus Christ.
Well, definitely one thing I appreciate about what you did, too, because sometimes if they're not coming to the church, hello, church needs to go where they are. And and Jesus never said, come ye therefore.
No.
He always said, go ye therefore. And so we're not going. And if we are going, and if we are present with and presenting the gospel, we ought to have an impact, you know, if our motives are pure. And
I'm looking at, you know, maybe we need to have a little track team, a little evangelist team outside the club at 2:00 in the morning. So when they come out,
That is not unique. It's been tried and done before.
It's been done.
Right.
And I also find that we don't have to be judgmental.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
It's not about it's totally judgmental. I mean, I'm not judging what their lifestyle is. What I'm saying is that I want you to exchange this life for a better one.
Right. 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 Man.
I mean, we can't judge what's going on, but it was very, very enlightening because I said it's been years. And things have changed drastically.
It is just that cross thing you mentioned.
That's what I mean.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I watched them, you know, black women never really dance with one another. That's not, we do line dances. But
right, right.
That wasn't our thing. But, you know, white girls have always done the dances together. But they was dancing, they were slow dancing. They was, I was like, whoa. I mean,
wow.
I'm looking at this going, something there. This is a change.
Wow.
I mean, things that, you know, the whole atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, when I was going up to the, I think it was the VIP up there where T.J. Maxx was, and it was flashback. I was like, wow. Or going over to the Davises. You know, we had our own thing, and we were not, and I'm quite sure that the saints that came in and were around said the same thing about me and us.
Okay.
But I looked and I said, wow. I mean, girls was on the floor. They was bouncing. I was like, what? Jesus, this is new.
Wow.
And the guys were waiting around trying to go see. I've never seen groupie men. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, this is really something. I'm like, okay, this is new. This is weird, but this is new. And the world has just changed. And some of the people asked me, did you get to see Snoop? I said, yeah. And at 8 o'clock, I'll tell them what happened with my experience when I first saw him. It was really, wow, it's changed. And I'm like, God, it's not for the better.
Right. You know, it's like, it's what have you done with your freedom?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more we want freedom, but all we really end up doing with freedom is abusing ourselves and others. And that's one of the very warnings that God was trying to tell Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't touch of this tree. And sometimes people say, why did God put that tree there? If you didn't want him to touch it then. And you really have to understand it, like, it was, it means a lot of things. But here's just two things that really just stand out to me is that one is that it's a matter of an issue of trust and obedience. You know, don't touch this tree. This is mine. You can have everything else. But this is the main one that really touches me is that it represented also freedom. See, if that tree had never been there, the devil could easily say to God, well, you know what? They really ain't free. I mean, look what you've done. They're just robots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that tree represented to me, you have freedom, but be careful how you use your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it says is, somebody said, well, why didn't God just kill the devil and destroy evil? But see, if God had killed the devil and destroyed evil, he also at the same time would have destroyed freedom.
Yeah.
And if he destroyed freedom,
he has to destroy will.
He also, right, that's right, free will, he would have destroyed love.
Yeah.
Because, again, freedom is the ability to choose. And if I don't have the ability to choose, then really, am I really free?
That's true.
So what I'm saying is that what we see happening now is this ideal that I want my freedom, but we, like they said in the movie, you can't handle that. You can't handle that freedom, you know. And God wants you to handle it and have it through his perspective, the kingdom perspective, or his the Bible, you
that's
know.
Good.
You have to understand what you have before you can actually operate in it. So, we want freedom, man, but we only end up hurting ourselves.
And even if you look at people who are free, African Americans, you know, we wanted to be free from Massa.
Right.
But what we did not realize is freedom comes responsibility.
Yes, a price.
You know, a responsibility, you have to choose either say whom you will serve.
Right.
Will you serve God or mammon?
Right.
And many of us inside the church and outside the church have not let the mammon go.
Right, right.
we will not let the world go. We hold on to it like it owes us something, like it's good for us.
Right.
And we will have to find out that the world does not love us.
Mm-mm, no. And it's interesting you should say that, because yesterday I was saying, making a little point that our forefathers, the end of the 18th century, the beginning of the 19th century, they had very little.
Right.
And they did so much. They built colleges and schools. They had their own bank. And now we today, in the history of our world, never had more, and we do so less.
Oh, we have nothing. We own nothing.
Yeah, we own nothing.
We own nothing. We have control over nothing. And what we don't realize is that as in our freedom, we're becoming not free.
Right, right.
And we're yielding everything over to someone else.
Yes.
And I don't know how we shake the world to tell them to wake up, grow up.
Yeah.
Because God has greater for us.
Right.
He said, I would not have you comfortless.
Yes, yes.
And we won't accept the comforter. Because the comforter comes with parameters.
Yeah. We want God's freedom, but we don't want God.
Yeah. And I was saying this morning about, I was listening to Bishop Blake yesterday, and he was saying that we need to understand that Jesus had the power in his mouth to change everything in his life to make it right.
Yeah.
Yet he did nothing outside of the obedience of his father.
That's right. Man.
So when Joseph died, just like he rose Lazarus from the dead, he could have told Joseph, get up.
Yeah.
And that was the man that he loved on earth the most.
Hmm.
That's the man who taught him how to become a carpenter.
Right.
That's the man who taught him how to become a man here on earth.
Right.
Yet when he died, he let him die because it was the will of the father. The question is, there are tragedies that come into our life.
Yeah.
And we won't trust God with them.
Yes.
Man. You know, how do we do that? How do we allow God just to be God and trust him at his word when he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us?
Ooh, James chapter 1.
See?
That's one of my favorite scriptures I learned years ago. You know, we know Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But James chapter 1 also adds that, you know, when you fall into divers temptation, count it all joy. And then it talks about when we count it all joy, we have to let patience have her
perfect
work, that you may be perfect and entire or mature, wanting nothing. And so, and part of the whole process of whatever we're experiencing, we're going through, is to mature us into Christ-likeness. But if we hate the process, if we're always complaining, like Israel, you know, they 40 years, they went in circles, complaining, but they never learned the lessons. And as a result, they died. That first generation died in the wilderness and never fulfilled the
promise. Everybody died.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids.
All the kids. Right, right. Woo. But, man, when we learn the lessons.
And you know what? And if you look at it, they died because they wouldn't let go of Egypt.
Yeah, that's
ooh,
right.
They kept on looking back.
Somebody said God, it was easy for God to deliver them out of Egypt, but it was hard for God to deliver
Egypt out of them.
Out of them.
Yes, we will not let go of the world.
Yeah, yeah. We want God, but we want Egypt too.
That's it.
Yeah.
We don't want that. That's just so sad.
Yeah.
And how is it that we change? How do we become better as people of God to make you salty for the life of God?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah.
How can I love you? Because, you know, I say, how can I love the hell that's in you out of you?
Yeah. Ooh, we definitely got to hang around a master.
I'm serious.
Let me say this. It's hard loving people with your love. It's hard for me to love people with my love.
It's hard.
My love is limited.
I can't love you with my love.
Yeah, it's you know, but the key is loving people with the love of God, because if you try to do it any other way, it ain't going
to
last.
But how do I do it? Because see, I've got to love, and I'm finding it with my own self, it's easy to love the people that's easy to love.
Yeah, right.
But, baby, there's some people that it's hard to love.
I know you're right.
They don't want your love, and you don't want to love them.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, the number is 330-744-5117 if you want to call in and comment. But I would say it's hard sometimes to love the people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they make it hard.
Yes. But we got to keep reminding ourselves, this is just a test. For the next how many days? It's a test, boy. God has taken us to that test.
My girlfriend said, I said, this person, she said, Tracy, did you pray for him? Pray for him? What do you want me to say? She said, Tracy, did you pray for him? Pray that God bless them and bless their family and bless their friends and bless what's going on in the world, and did you bless them? I'm like, no. He said, well, we're going to pray right now. God, save them in the name of Jesus. God, bless their finances. Give them increase. God, whatever's in their life that's going on, make it right.
Yeah.
I'm like, I never thought it. The Bible says pray for them.
Right, that's right.
And she was right. But when she threw it back at me, I'm like, what? Pray what?
Well, you know what? Some of the people that I have the hardest time dealing with is not people of the world.
It's a church.
It's church folks. Church folks.
I think it comes from expectation.
Yeah, maybe perhaps our expectations are.
I think it comes from expectation because, as you know, we expect people who are saved to do as we do.
Right.
And we are not. We're all in a hospital. And we all have diseases.
Right. Man, oh man.
We all have diseases, and those diseases manifest themselves in different ways.
Right.
And we think that everybody that's inside the hospital is healed.
Yeah.
But they're not healed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to where I find with the pastor.
Yeah.
The pastor is the administrator of the hospital, and he is guided by the chief physician to make sure that the infectious disease is not going with the immune deficiency people.
Yeah.
So that they do not become infected with another disease.
Right.
And so he navigates the way as the administrator to make sure that people are being fed so they can be healed.
Yeah.
But with every healing comes another exposure of something else.
Yes, indeed. You know, one thing I discovered too is that we just got to start being more real.
Oh.
And what I mean two things by that. You know, real just genuine, you know, but real in the sense, just this is who I am. You know what? This is who I am. We have to start by just saying this is who I am. This is where I am. And because if you're not real, if you don't present yourself as you are, it's hard for you to bring someone to where they need to be when they're not honest with where they are or who they are, you know?
But, you know, we are very, very hard on people who are transparent. We say that we want transparency. But, you know, like going back, you can't handle
right.
transparency.
Little dose at a time.
You know, we want the truth, but you can't handle it. You know, because if I tell you my fault,
yeah.
I'm afraid that you'll use them against me.
Mm, right.
It's like
right.
with reading.
Vulnerability.
You know, if I tell you that I can't read, I'm ashamed of my past, so I will not tell you that I can't read. So I'll fake it for years.
Yeah.
For years. And you think that I can read and I can't read a lick. And because I have faked it, I have never experienced the world. Because I'm afraid to tell you and become transparent before you and say, you know what, I need help.
Yeah.
It's almost like repentance and coming to Christ.
Yeah, yes.
Repentance. It's so easy.
Right.
To say, God, I need thee.
Right.
God, I'm a sinner and I can't live on this world, in this world, without you.
Right.
Come be my Lord.
Right.
It's just that easy.
Right, that's right.
Somehow we have made it so hard,
oh,
and the enemy
man.
the enemy. The enemy has made it so difficult.
Yeah.
And made it, it's like you got to jump through hoops and you got to pass out on the floor. You got to do, and it, no.
Yeah.
You just have a contrite heart and a willing mind.
Yes.
And a mouth to speak. And it's just that easy.
Yeah. The story of Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Nicodemus was a scholar, teacher, but he came to Jesus and commending Jesus, said, Jesus, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus didn't say, thank you, Nicodemus. He didn't say, oh, all right, man, appreciate that. He just went straight to the point. He says, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Mm.
He kept it simple. He just went straight to the point, kept it real simple. And you're right, today we're trying to show somebody how much we know and trying to show our credentials and, you know, and just keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Keep it easy.
Yes. Salvation is simple. Living is hard. Amen. Living is hard.
Living is difficult. It comes with a price.
That's right.
You know, salvation is free.
Right.
Salvation is free.
Oh, yeah.
But life comes with a price.
That's
but you know what? Life comes with a price no matter who, no matter where, what side you're on.
Right. That's right.
The benefits of the opposite, of Christ, the Christ side far outweigh.
Right.
I was teaching the other day, and I was saying that because of the God in me, it gives me the boldness that I know he's always got my back.
Right.
So when I say something, do something, I have a holy boldness that no one else can touch, because guess what? You can't do anything because my daddy got my back.
Yes, that's right.
And I have to really, in my little pea brain, look at it that way, because God, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
So no matter what, he's always got me.
Right.
No matter what, good, bad, or indifferent, my daddy got this.
Yeah.
Robbed the store, my daddy got me.
That's right.
Just like a father. Just like a mother. They're there.
Yeah.
They mad.
Yeah.
They're going to beat you. You're going to win trouble.
Hmm.
But if you got a good mommy and a good daddy, they show up.
That's right.
And God is the same way. And we try to make him this mysterious, spooky, you know, pot up in the sky, looking down. It's not who he is.
Yeah. That's why Jesus came to earth.
That's it.
Yeah.
Relationship.
Yes.
Because
he
couldn't have a relationship with God without him.
That's right. And he really wanted to give us a glimpse of the Father's heart, and that's what he did. Gave us a glimpse of the Father's heart. And by the way, Father's Day is coming up Sunday.
Father's Day.
Yes, Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Hey, thank you. Since you were talking about fathers, I want to say Happy Father's Day
to God,
to my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of people, whether it's male or female, you know, talking about, you know, they didn't have a father growing up. I didn't have a father growing up either. My mom and dad divorced when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And but I was not without fathering.
Mm.
And so, you know, sometimes people complain about what they don't have, but God is so faithful. You don't have to be without fathering. Not to mention my mom, you know, but I had a coach.
You went Bulldog, weren't you?
Bulldog. George Ritz. George Ritz was my coach. And but I had him. And I had a deacon, Carl Murray, father mentoring. Not to mention my pastor, Pastor Joe Bankston. And I can go on and on, but I was not without fathering. And so, you know, we have a Heavenly Father.
Yes, we do.
And that's the big thing. So we don't have to be without a father. We don't have to live a negative life because we don't have the actual physical presence of a father in the house. God can supply. He can fill the void.
He does. He brings. My father was absent, and I had a stepfather. But I, as far as a spiritual father, it's really funny. I look at God placed great men in my life.
Yes, right.
That were respective of me, and I want to say I got a little caveat off side point. Hey guys, you know, old men, young men. I want to say this to you. This is a secret, and I ain't going to tell nobody else. You know, there are young women out there who respect you, and that I know they're pretty. I know they're fine. They got booty. They got back and all that, and I know that you think that it's cute. But these young women don't need your compliment of sensual sensation. They need your compliment of fatherly guidance.
Yeah.
You guys know some of y'all married, some of y'all ain't been married, some of y'all old enough to be these people, grandparents, grandkids, dog, cat, all that. Please, you know, have control over your thoughts.
Yeah.
Keep your thoughts to yourself and treat these young women as you would want your them to treat your child.
Right, your daughter.
And I'm going to say that out loud because it is time out for you guys to be, baby, you know you hot. I just want to talk. No,
yeah.
you listen, they need someone who's going to be respectful of them as a father, uncle figure.
Yes, yes.
I need to get that out.
Oh, yeah.
I had an experience over the weekend, so I had to, that needed to come. Because people need to know that.
My God. They need to.
They need to know that.
You know what? I have a member of, our church, Elena Weaver. You know, she just put out this new book, Who Should Wipe Away My Tears. And but that's one of the things that she talks about in her life story, how that the men that abused her when she was growing up, little from childhood. And, I mean, you know, I came out of a home of abuse. My dad, you know, used to abuse my mom. And though I was just 4 or 5, I remember vividly the sounds and the arguing and just the whole violent thing. And so I'm going to the point that so my mindset toward you know, young ladies is might be a little different than most, but I'm in agreement with you that we need to be careful of what we say, especially you know some of these brothers are old enough to be these young ladies' fathers, you know, and it really they and though the young lady may not say anything at the time, oh my God, it just lowers that particular brother in their eye to an all new level.